Well, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to continue our seminar on relationships.
Amen.
Dr. Phil is not in the house.
Amen.
Thankfully, the Apostle Paul is giving good wisdom. Even though sometimes when you read it, you go, man, he's sure stuck on being single. Doesn't like marriage. Well, in reality, he does, but he's trying to point some things out, and I hope that I can convey that as we go through here. But this segment we're going to look into is principles about singleness. So, Anna, pay attention. I think she can give us some good principles. But no, it's, you know, we've seen already that, you know, the Apostle Paul is pointing out the advantages, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that, of, you know, in a marriage, even though our souls become one together, you know, personally I think that God's getting extra from us as married people. I want to say that because I've been married for a lot of years. Serving the Lord, you know, he gets both people. But yet Paul's addressing the fact that there are extra stresses put on that can take people's focus away. Whereas with singles, he says, they can focus on the Lord. However, I want to counter that and say, well, wait a minute. Singles have still got stress on around them too. They might be caring for a family. They might be, so, you know, it's, you know, I'm not saying that the Apostle Paul's definitely wrong, but, you know, when we look at that, and that's one of the questions that's going to come up here, we're going to ask about, is when you look at it from today's society, or even just kind of look at how married and single, even though marriage, when you have a family, you have that stress of a family. And when you're single, they go, well, they only have to worry about themselves. But in reality, they may not be. They may be caring for some other people in there, and their focus is going to be set. So here we're going to jump in at verse 25 of chapter 7. And I don't know if we'll make it all the way through to verse 38, but it says, is now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Let's pray. Father, again, we are thankful for the truth that we see in your word, even when it becomes somewhat challenging and in understanding about marriage and singleness and service for the Lord. Father, I know that you will work with each individual. You will give them guidance and direction in our lives as we serve you. And Father, you can help us focus as we need to be able to take care of our families if we have them, to take care of our spouses, and still be able to focus on the Lord as we should. And Father, when it looks at singles, the focus on the Lord, the Apostle Paul points out to us that it's a solemn focus, and you show us through his word, through your word, that it's a gift. And Father, we understand that, but I do pray, Father, as we go further into this, that we will understand even more and know how to pray for each other and how to uphold each other, whether we're married or whether we're single. Father, we know that we're to focus on you. You are to be our life's destiny is to fulfill your will, and to understand that though there may be things that in our life that will give us challenges, we know that if we focus on you, you will help us with those challenges. They will work out for you. And Father, we do ask it in your Son's precious name. Well, here, the Apostle Paul is stepping in, and he told us right here, he says, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment. So he's answering this in such a way is that you're free to stay single or you're free to marry. And what he's really applying this to is, what's God's will for your life? You know, God's will might be single and focus on the Lord as he's done here, so that, you know, he had concerns with the group that was with him. You know, back in Acts, he was talking about, as he went through there, he cared for the people. His job as a tent maker, he provided funds by his extra work. So, you know, just being single says, well, I just focus on the Lord and everything else is taken care of. No, he was caring for the group that was with him and looking out for their needs and realizing that okay, so I'm single, but yeah, I've got these group of people that I need to work with. So what he's also pointing out, and we're going to see it here, he says, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man to be. And he's telling us that wherever you are, be content in reality. But he's talking with this group here of singles that it's proper either direction, whatever your choice is. And as one person pointed out, I think it was Barnes I was looking, it says the opinion of Paul seems to have been asked by the Church of Corinth whether it's proper that those who had unmarried daughters or wards should give them in marriage. And we get further down, pastor's going to kind of help bolster this a little bit with a comment, but it's down about verse 34, so we got a little ways to go. But there's some reasons behind it. During this time frame, Christians are being persecuted. Nero's having his way, and he's persecuting Christians left and right. He's throwing them out of their homes. He's executing them. He's, you know, making sport of them. He's making it so that you're a Christian, you know, and does them in because, well, he's being convicted, pure and simple. He knows that it's right for them, but he's the emperor, so he can make whatever his choices, and, well, he gets to suffer for it. But the concern is that the persecutions going on here, that Christians, when they're exposed, as a family, when they're exposed, you know, usually the husband's the one that's hauled off and he's the one that's, you know, killed or whatever, but the whole family could be too. So that puts an extra burden on focusing. Yet, a lot of the stories that can be told, Fox's Book of Martyr talks about them, is that when somebody was being executed at the stake by fire, or is being chased in through there, people are praying and singing hymns to the Lord and convicting the people around them, and they're seeing people brought to the Lord, and we've had lessons pastors brought forward about persecutions, and though right now, you know, we're not being faced with somebody running in this door and rounding us all up and taking us off and putting us before a trial somewhere or trying to, you know, convince us, well, you know, just recant and you'll be just fine. And taking families apart, taking our goods, although little by little it's happening. And what's nice is there are people that are fighting back and saying, no, you're not going to do this. That's what I love about the United States. We have the freedom of religion. Of course, some people go, well, we have a freedom from religion too. And more people are trying to point that out, is that, you know, we have this separation thing here, and it's really not. But as Christians, how our ministry goes forward is what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out. Some in Corinth have been advocates for celibacy. They say, well, you know, if you're not married, you can focus on what God wants you to do. And that's what that's what some of these people are pointing out. And it's like, well, the only way you can serve the Lord is you have to be single. Well, the Catholic Church has taken that to the extreme. Although I hear rumblings that they're thinking, well, maybe that's not exactly the right thing, but, you know, and they try to point that out, that, well, singleness, they can just focus on the Lord. Well, they're human beings, too. There's all told number of stories down through the ages about priests and celibacy and nuns and celibacy, and that they don't follow their vows. But those are stories. We don't really know that. But in Scripture, it's pointing out that verse 26, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. In other words, he's saying, because of the persecutions, maybe it's not a good idea to be married. Maybe just being single, and then that way when you're taken away, that your family doesn't have to worry about it. Well, wait a minute. What about moms and fathers? You know, if your child is being taken away, I know if one of my children was being taken away, I'd be a little distressed too. And just because they're single doesn't mean that somebody else isn't worried about them. The Apostle Paul does point that out, but he's really like in verse 6 and 10, where he says, you know, there is no real commandment on singleness. He says, make your choice, and when you do it, think, is this what God wants you to do? Because later on, he's going to point out that, you know, maybe God really wants you to be single for a period of time, but he's got that person out there for you elsewhere. But I have this plan for you. In fact, Matthew Henry talks about, he says, faithfulness in a ministry is owing to the grace and mercy of Christ. And it was what Paul was ready to acknowledge upon all occasions. Like he said, and we'll come to it later, but in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So that's what he was pointing out. He says, no matter how you labor, is God guiding you and directing you? Are you following God's will as you're doing this? And along with that, he's saying to be faithful in that. And, you know, it says, verse 25, as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord, to be faithful. So as they're going through the life singly, they're looking for the Lord's guidance and knowing that the Lord is guiding me. I don't have a spouse to help guide me or to be my support. I'm relying on the Lord. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing. Even though we know that there were a whole bunch of people with him, I'm sure he relied on them, because he talked about his helpers as he was going through a lot of these. Oftentimes, he was all by himself, though. And so, as he goes through there, he says the current persecutions that were going on, he talked about in verse 26, was creating a problem. And as I was going through, he says, at the time, they were subject to trials so severe as to render the advice which he was about to give. And it was by no means that this should be a permanent arrangement in the church. So what he's pointing out is that, you know, maybe singleness is temporary through this time period, so that they're not tearing families apart. They're not taking children and wives and husbands and separating them, like so many times happens in persecution. You know, we're hearing about that now, about immigration things, huh? It's not really happening. But what he was trying to point out is if you're married and all of a sudden your family's separated, now you've created a problem there. As a single person, you can focus on you and the Lord. It's kind of what I understand he's trying to say. So he's saying it's best for a man, and saying man in general, a person that's doing this. He says, I advise that the conduct in the following, and most people say it's, you know, unmarried and to be interpreted, the best for the situation, based on the given time. That way, families are not being affected. So again, Paul's, you know, he's not bashing marriage, but he's pointing out that so families aren't overly affected by this, and the husband's like, okay, where's my wife? Where's my children? What's happening? The mother's not saying, where's my husband? Where's my children? What's happening to them? Because it did happen. Some families were so torn apart. I mean, in slavery, a lot of times that happened. In the first part of the United States, families were just torn apart. You know, slave owners, some of them did not care. Okay, fine, you know, you're my property, and move on. Sadly, that was history. But what was happening here was the kind of persecution that was tearing families apart, that was doing anything they could to try to convince the Christian, your God's not taking care of you. Well, surprisingly, that God was taken care of. You know, God is far greater than any of the emperors. He's far greater than anything there. Verse 27, art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. What he's pointing out is that if you're married, stay married. But if you're not, seek not a wife. So he's for the present time, don't go looking for marriage, but be content doing what you need to do. You know, fight against the persecution if you can, or just, you know, acknowledge the persecution and be a good witness. Whereas as a family, he's saying, you know, don't just let your wife go away. Don't divorce. Because he was trying to point out that divorce is not good just because there's persecution going on. Because there's always going to be that tie later on. And, of course, and we're going to talk later about divorcement, that at a point when they decide to do that, it's broken. It's a broken home. It's not repairable. And, in fact, Dr. Rice had a really good set of statements on it that I'll hopefully present when we go through there. But it was kind of in those guys, is that when that happens, it's not reconcilable. And for people to do that just because is not right. But the Apostle Paul is, hey, don't divorce, but endure. So he's showing that there's a gift on both sides. Being able to endure the persecutions married takes a lot of strength, and enduring as a single and staying single and focusing on the Lord and not let the world draw you in is a gift also. Because that's, you know, you look around, the temptations were great in Corinth at the time. That, you know, we mentioned earlier, all the temples that they had there, the pagans, people were being enticed into this stuff and to get the focus, take the focus away from God. And in verse 28, it says, but if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall I have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. He's pointing out that if you do marry, you know, this group over here that's trying to say that celibacy is the only way to go, you're not sinning. There's no commandment against not marrying or against marrying. And Paul keeps going back to it. And the note here says, shall have trouble in the flesh. It says, they shall have anxiety, care, solitude, trials. Days of persecution are coming on, and you may be led to the stake in those fiery trials. Your family may be torn asunder and apart be put to death, or you may be poor and oppressed and driven from your homes and made wanderers and exiles for the sake of your religion. And it's just saying that could happen. Some people, you know, their lives, they may not be able to get a job. Well, you're a Christian. You can't work for me. You like this Jesus? You know, you're not working here. And therefore, they may not be able to make money to support a family. But they might be able to make enough to support themselves. So that's another way Paul is trying to point out. He says, you might not be able to support a family. So why should you get married? Just focus on what you need to do. Focus on what the Lord has planned for you. He says, but I spare you. There's an impact on a family that would be different than for a single person. But yet, if a single person, he knows that their parents are Christians and they're being persecuted, there's that burden on them too, on a family member. Children, you know, we don't talk that much about children in a family, but they're thinking, you know, where's mom and dad going? What's happening to them? You know, so the Apostle Paul's pointing out during what they, like you said, the present time, the persecutions were severe. You know, we're seeing in the Middle East almost those types of persecutions going on. The beheadings, the burnings, the drownings, the stonings that are going on by animals. You know, they're just out there to, you know, be sensationalists. They're not doing it for, well, they say that they're doing it for their God, and we know who their God is, and he's as wicked as they come. But thankfully, those that have said, I'm not giving up my God. My God is more powerful than your God. You can go ahead and do what you want to do to me. The worst thing that can happen is I die and get to go to heaven. Okay, so I get to leave this earth. Okay, do your best. And oftentimes, even today, we hear of stories about the time a person brings a knife up in the air to chop off somebody's head. There's a a sniper out there. And it's changed a lot of lives as a result. Well, God has done the same thing in some instances. He might have created a problem for that executioner that might have spared that person's life. And those around go, their God's pretty powerful. I think that's what's happening. And in the Middle East, there's story after story after story of that. During this time, there's story after story after story of when persecution comes, what were we seeing in the book of Acts? The gospel grew. The church grew. And that's what's happening here. They're trying every way they can. The devil's trying to break up the church, no matter how you do it. Oh, you know, you have to be single to be a good servant. Oh, no. Yeah, you can't do that. You definitely can't do that. Yeah, just on and on and on, giving man's ideas of what's supposed to be happening. So one of the questions that comes up out of this is, why might a person desire to stay single during times of persecutions? And we've hit some of them, but, you know, any other ideas that might come up that you might have looking through the lesson? Why might a person stay single, desire to stay single? Lisa?
Well, if you're being persecuted, it's probably an easier decision to either run and not have to worry about, you know, who you're dragging along, or to stay and fight and not worry about who's going to be injured in it if it's just yourself.
True. And that's an excellent way to look at it, is you're able to focus on yourself. You know, it's a fight or flee situation, and you don't have to worry about it. And it's difficult. You know, we had several of the teams that we worked with just before I retired, and every man on that team had a specific job to do. Well, in the family, the same thing. Everybody has a specific job. Well, on that team also is, if they have a member that gets hurt, people know how to pick up that. But they know, okay, now I have a wounded person. I need to take care of that person. Or, you know, that type of approach. Well, if it's a single person, well, yeah, if you get outnumbered, oh, well, it's just me. I don't have to worry about saving the others. So it's important to understand that families are important, and families that fight together live to fight another day sometimes, and takes care of the enemy. But yet, it's a single person, like Lisa says, you know, you don't have to worry about the family. Any others? Any other ideas along with that? Well, okay, Pastor?
Feeding a family and such, if you're suffering in that way, it's
sure.
Longer with it, takes less to feed one person than does.
Exactly. Well, you think Hagar, when she left, what did she do? Fortunately, the Lord took care of them, but she put the child over in one place, and she went over, and both says, well, we're both going to die. And of course, God heard her, and took care of her. Well, God can do the very much the same thing. And it's true. When you think about feeding a family, how do we do that? And, you know, I think of families that, for instance, that are dislocated for whatever reason. Now they have to worry about housing. They have to worry about protecting the family, feeding the family, you know, those type of thing in today's society. So, again, another question that comes up before I jump on, any other comment along with why might a person desire to be single during persecutions? Because I got a couple more questions in here that will challenge us. Okay. Well, what might some heartaches a married couple might experience today? You know, we kind of mentioned some about feeding families and worrying about others during times of persecution. But what about today? Lynn?
As speaking of personal experience, number one would be wayward children.
Wayward children, yes. I just saw that. Yeah, you're right. Wayward children. That's probably the biggest heartache on a parent, especially if they've grown up in the church when they get older. But what's it say in Proverbs about train up a child? You know, we've experienced that. Our children all went their way for a bit of time. Several of them are back in church where they belong. So over time, it does happen. But any other heartaches that come along with that, especially today? Lisa?
I think a great heartache is unequal spiritual health.
Unequal, yeah.
You have one spouse who's really wanting to have that relationship with the Lord, and the other one is more world-focused, self-focused. It's unequal. And then the resources, there's pull and tug over God's resources.
Right.
And how they're used and what's he's learned to us.
not quite like a saved and an unsaved, but right. Yet... spiritual levels not being exactly the same. Yeah, and it can be a challenge on both sides. And that's kind of back in the verses back. Well, you know, should they separate over that? Well, no. Encourage each other. It might be a challenge where one is more spiritually focused than, say, the other one. But maybe that person's just not ready to, you know, God hasn't brought them up to that point level yet. But that's why they're a team. You know, they work with each other. But yeah, that can be quite a heartache. Any other thoughts along with heartaches? Anna? Oh, yes. Right. Right. Something that affects them physically that ends up requiring more attention. That is a special, that's a special gift on the part. I think of my wife's cousin who's taking care of her sister while she's dying of cancer. Yet she's a cancer survivor herself. She's lost a parent and both parents to cancer. You know, that's a special gift. I think of, you know, good old Anna here taking care of grandma. You know, that is a special gift to be able to take care of somebody and still be able to focus, knowing that does create a heartache. Or to watch somebody's life slowly degrade from cancer or from dementia, Alzheimer's, physical effects, there's probably story after story of people. Pastor.
Yeah, those who know Don Sisk, he stepped back to the ministry to take care of his wife. His ministry right now is caring for her.
Oh, wow, yes. You know, having somebody that you've been caring for that dies as a result. Don Sist,
Don Sisk.
Sisk.
Yeah. His actual position
with that. Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was. Yeah, wasn't he the like a director?
One of their directors. Yeah.
Right, and then to have that, yeah, and sometimes that sets you stronger. I mean, there's you feel like there might be a setback, and you go, wow, how are they going to be able to go forward? Next thing you know, they've just made a leap. You know, all of a sudden taken on a ministry. Well, I think of Brother Norm Stevens with his wife who's had the back injuries. We were hoping to meet her one time, and her injuries just made it to where she couldn't travel. And yet he travels all over the country, gets back home, and has a time of rejoicing with her, and praying.
And trips too, caring for her and helping her in Florida.
Yes.
Yes.
Just, but you know, so we see that there are a lot of things that the heartaches that married couples experience today. But yet, I am so thankful when those oftentimes comes up, and yet the person can say, "It didn't alter my faith in the Lord. It didn't alter my step with the Lord." That's exciting to see somebody that says, "God, I can take care of this," or "You can help me take care of this," because that's the only way it can be taken care of, is that God is going to give that kind of direction to the individual as they go through there. And so we're seeing that even though the Apostle Paul is directing here, that that the individual should stay single if they're single because of persecutions. And if you're married, stay married, but understand you're going to have more stresses on you. And it, and to some people, it might affect their walk with the Lord, but I honestly believe that when a person is sold out to the Lord, married or unmarried, God's going to keep their feet planted firmly going forward. He's going to allow them to be able to say, "You focus on me, and I'll help you with your family." And the same with the single. He says, "You focus on me, and I'll help you with these issues around you in the world." And I think God does know that for the family and for the single person. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to point out. He says, both of those are a gift. And both of those take commitment on our part, and it doesn't happen without prayer. Doesn't happen without staying studied up in our Bible. Doesn't happen unless we're fellowshipping as we should. And you know, I can't say it enough that this church here is, when we have somebody that's hurting, everybody else hurts too, because we're taking that burden on in prayer. And that's the exciting part. I won't say that it only happens in small churches. I know it happens in big churches, that they get out there, and in that case, you have a whole bunch of people praying, and there are a lot of resources. Well, we have limited resources here, but yet God manages to take care of every one of us. And that's the exciting part, that's what we're going to see. That's what God wants for us, and that's what he's trying to set up here for the church at Corinth, and answering people that, well, the only way you can be a good servant of God is to be single and never get married. Well, the Apostle Paul's saying, well, there are times when that might be. But he's saying, there's no commandment, and it's based on your walk with the Lord. And that's what he gets back to, and that's what I'm getting from this. I don't know if that's what you get as you're studying, is that married or unmarried, God has a plan. And there's a, in fact, I think when we get into the next one, there's a slide that talks about your lot in life. So we'll hit that one next week. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you now for being a God that understands all of our situations.